If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. You know, typically when Paul writes a letter, the first portion of the letter, he lays out doctrine. And often that doctrine has to do with the particular message that he wants to get to the church that he's writing to. And then after the doctrine, there are applications. I mean, it's real practical. He gives us the instruction, and then he tells us, how we can find the reality of that instruction in our lives on a day-to-day basis. And that's what's going on here in chapter 5. Paul is going to give us a very insightful, very practical way of living our life that we find victory. Now, we throw that word victory around a lot, I know. But I'm talking about the victory that comes, when we're at work and we're tired and somebody's giving us a hard time. Maybe it's a boss that is hassling us about something that we've already done. You know, whatever the case may be, the Lord not only wants us to be quote-unquote good people, to be nice people, to deal with those things, but he wants us to reveal in our lives the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in this chapter, well, let's just look at the beginning. In fact, the first two words, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. I really want to make a particular point concerning that phrase, stand fast. It's almost like a military command. It's something to the effect, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't be deceived or beguiled into the life that you are experiencing where Christ has placed you. You are in a place as you are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in a place of liberty. And you ask me what that liberty means. Well, I'm not going to answer it directly right now. I'm just going to say that liberty has a big deal to do with walking in liberty, walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is what I mean to say. It means to live my life following the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit. As you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you are going to experience his joy. You're going to faithfully do the right thing. I'm going to say that again. As you follow the Holy Spirit, you're not only going to experience his joy, you are faithfully going to do the right thing. You're going to live a life of obedience. You're going to live a life of growth. And that growth will never stop. I'm the prime example. I'm 70 years old, but God is still working in my life. God is still teaching me things that, it's kind of interesting. I don't mean to get off here, but I've been a pastor for 25 years. Every year, almost without fail, I've read through the entire Bible. I know the scriptures fairly well, but there are those times in your life where God focuses you on a particular scripture, and you learn things that you had no idea of, although you've read that a number of times. But you get to that one particular place in the Word of God, and it's just a wonderful thing as the Lord himself teaches you. And but here's the point. We need to stand fast. We need to stay in that place where God can teach us, God can use us, and where at the end of the day we say, Lord, It's been a rough day. I admit it's been a rough day, but I give you the glory and the honor, and I thank you for getting me through this day, and I thank you for the victory that is mine in Jesus Christ. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to stand. We need to stand fast in that place, because the enemy is going to do everything he can to rip you away from having that victory in Jesus Christ. And that's really what this chapter is about. Now, they had had a problem. They had had a problem in Galatia. We're not going to talk about their problem, because their problem is not our problem. But what I want to really emphasize to you this morning is the fact that it doesn't matter if you're from Galatia or if you're from North Long Beach, California, we are all called to be men and women who, by faith, our faith working through love. That's a common theme in this chapter. In fact, you'll see it in verse 6. Faith working through love. I don't know if you saw the announcement. The announcement, whatever they call it these days. I saw it on televised news Friday evening, and it was just a little blurb. The newscaster, I don't think, thought it was very important, but I thought it was interesting. And they said this. They said that here in the United States, the amount of people fell from 73% to 65%, and these are the people who claim some kind of, for want of a better term, kinship with Christianity. They have this involvement with Christianity. Now, that's a huge, if somebody is involved in Christianity, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a Christian. That doesn't mean that they're a born-again Christian. But the point of what the commentator was saying is that that group of people within the nation of the United States continues to dwindle, and it's dwindled now down to about 65%. I mean, that's just people that have some kind of relationship to Christianity. And, you know, the newscaster said that many people, quote, have just wandered away, and now they live for themselves. And there is today a great confusion about what it means to be a Christian. And, we could talk about that for several hours. But I'll tell you something. There are few people that really understand what the Holy Spirit has been given to us for, what it is to accomplish in our life. We are called as Christians to live a life in the Spirit. We're called to live a life in the Spirit, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead. Listen, the Holy Spirit, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, he comes into your life. The Holy Spirit, he comes in, and if you give place to the Holy Spirit, he will direct your life. Now, what is going on in this chapter is a church. It wasn't just a church. It was really a group of people, because there were several churches in Galatia. And they had started off really filled with the Spirit, involved in, sharing the gospel with people around them. They started off the right way, but something, someone, some group came into that general area and got them away from depending upon the Lord, trusting in the Lord, living a life that is centered in the Lord, and got them off onto some life that was partly centered on the Lord and partly centered on the works of the law. And because that had happened, they had fallen from grace. Now, You know, there are people today that have the same problem. It doesn't derive from the same group of people, but they decide that, well, I'm going to be a Christian, and that means that there are certain things that I have to do, so I'm going to do those things, and, you know, hopefully that'll make God happy, that'll make the people at church happy, that'll make me happy, everything will be fine. And they actually adopt some kind of quote-unquote law, and by keeping this law, they feel like they have fulfilled their obligation as Christians. The problem is that they're living by the law. They're not living by grace. We've been called into a grace relationship with God. And here's the problem. Here's the problem is if we are going to live by the law, we've got to keep every aspect of the law. Some of the Old Testament scribes and Pharisees, they derived a list of, there were 613 different aspects of the law that you had to keep. My goodness, I think we would be very hard-pressed in here to name, you know, 10 or 12 of those, let alone 613. But the bottom line is this: if you say I'm going to live by the law, you got to keep the whole law all the time. You know, it's like I'm sure you've heard this example before, but it's very relevant. If you're going down South Street about 55 miles an hour, and you know, it's late at night, there's nobody on the street, and suddenly a police car pulls you over and says, "Sir, you were speeding." And you say, "Well, you're not going to give me a ticket, are you?" Well, sir, you were going almost 20 miles an hour over the speed limit. But, you know, I've always kept the law. I've always kept the law. I've not only kept the law, I go to church. I don't know what, I don't know how impressed that would be, but... You could name all of the good things that you've done, but the fact is you just were caught going down the street at 50 miles an hour. So guess what? He's going to give you a ticket. And, you can't live by the law in the eyes of the Lord, because if that's the way you're going to live, you got to keep every commandment. You've got to keep the law. I'll tell you, ideally, what God has called each one of us to do, there's no exceptions, He's called each one of us to start the day off. Now, I say start the day off the way I started off. I talk to the Lord. I tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm grateful that I'm a part of your family. I confess any sins that I've done, and if there's none that I can think of, I tell the Lord to forgive me anyhow, because, you know, we're a people that need to live a life that is characterized by our dependence upon the Lord. And if we're going to depend upon the Lord, we got to stay free of sin." Now, but, you know, basically what I do every day is I pray that that when I go out, whether I'm coming here to the church, whether I'm going somewhere else, that I would show forth the love of Jesus Christ. Now, normally, that's not a hard thing. It's who I am. It's a work that God has done for years and years in my life. I wasn't always a man who showed forth the love of God, but God has been working in my life, and He's been shaping and doing a work in my character. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I go out, and my first and foremost thing is to show forth the love of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the way Paul puts it in verse 6. It's right at the end of verse 6. It says, but faith working through love. I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he, in turn, does that work in my life whereby I'm not self-centered, but I'm centered on the life that of people around me, and my job is to show them the love of God. That's the primary thing for each one of us, to show forth the love of God. Now, in verse 15, it says this. It says, I'm sorry, let me back up a little bit. Look at verse 13. It says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, every day, every single day, we are in this world where we can either be influenced and led by the lust of our flesh, the desires of our flesh. The desires of our flesh, there are many desires of the flesh. And as we go, we're going to be more self-centered, but as we go in the direction of being led by the Spirit, we're going to be centered in doing the will of the Father and showing the love of His Son to the people around us. Now, again, going back to that first phrase in the verse, standing fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. As we stand in that liberty, we are going to not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and we're going to experience the blessing of knowing that in Jesus we've won. The Spirit of God is fighting the battle for you. You see, when we purpose to love one another, and when we stand in that place where God is working in our lives, God, the Holy Spirit, is literally doing that work that accomplishes His will, and in accomplishing His will, we're winners. We win the battle of life. If we depend on the works of the law, the influence is sort of an outer influence. The works of the law, it's on the outside. It's not on the inside. Jesus is on the inside. The Holy Spirit is on the inside. And we lose. So, the thing about the law is this. We're bright, intelligent people. And when the law says this is what you need to do, and we don't want to do it, we can come up with the greatest excuses to not obey the law. There are people, if they can't get permission to do something because God forbids it, They'll do it anyway, and then later on they'll ask God for forgiveness. We're not called to live that way. We're called to live in a place where we are following the Lord Jesus Christ, and His Spirit is working in us, helping us, enabling us to do what we can't normally do. It's one thing to say, you know, God bless you all, have a great week as you follow Jesus Christ. But we won't follow Jesus Christ unless the Spirit of God is working in our lives and we are in that place where we are allowing Him to work and to fight the battles that go on, because we can't fight them alone. Now, Paul goes on to list the works of the flesh. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Now, he's kind of divided these up into different groupings. The first group, obviously, are sensual sins. And then he comes to sins that are religious in nature, idolatry, sorcery. And then the rest of them, I would just characterize them as people sin. You know, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. So far you're saying, well, I'm pretty good. I don't have a problem with any of these things. How about selfish ambitions? How about the things that you want to see happen? And, you don't care what other people think. You have determined that this is what I am going to be. This is what I'm going to do. So he lists this ugly, listing of fleshly sins, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he says, those who practice, they're not going to heaven. It doesn't matter what they say. It just matters that the fact that they are men and women who are, maybe they pretend to be a Christian, but if they practice such things, they're not going to heaven. And, of course, there are people that that know nothing of the Lord and they do such things. They're not going to heaven, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, he changes from the works of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit. Just the fact that he uses that word fruit is, it draws most of us in because, we like fruit. At least most of us like some kind of fruit. And fruit has that wonderful quality of, it reproduces itself. And so he's going to make this very sharp contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And he says the fruit of the Spirit is love. He doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love. So these other eight attributes that he lists are somehow a work of love that has in itself its own special definition. But you look as a group, and it is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And he goes on to say joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, when we live the Spirit-filled life, the work that the Holy Spirit is going to do is He is going to develop in us this wonderful character, this character that, the big word that kind of covers the whole thing is love. But there are many aspects of that love. And Paul covers those different aspects by using these additional words that further define what the work of the Spirit is doing in our life, this wonderful character building exercise. Now, this is not exclusive. There are other works of the Spirit, but this is the you might say the most important work that he does, because it is a work in you, making you like Jesus, and and at the same time protecting you from the things of the world that would work in an opposite way. He goes on to say in verse 24, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." You know, the thing that makes our walk in the Spirit very interesting is that we have two natures inside of us. We have the new nature. We have the nature that has been brought in when we were when we became a Christian. We have the spiritual nature, and it's a blessing. But we also have our old nature. What are we to do with our old nature? Well, Paul says we have crucified it. We have taken that nature, that part of us that speaks of the works of the flesh, we've crucified it. We've reckoned it dead in Jesus Christ. So he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That is, let us walk in such a way that we are in step with the Spirit of God. You know, the last verse is kind of an interesting verse. You know, you think, why is that there? It says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Here's the deal. Every day, as we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to walk in a position of humility. That is, we've got to walk in such a way that we are dependent upon the Lord. And it's very easy. It's very easy to see the Holy Spirit working in our life and, sort of saying, well, look at me. I've arrived. What do you want to know about the Holy Spirit? Just come and talk to me. I'll tell you what you need to know. And we this attitude that puts us in the place that Jesus should be. And we become, in a sense, conceited. And and I'll tell you, when you have a church full of people who are conceited, there's going to be provoking, there's going to be envy, there's going to be all of the works of the flesh. So, the enemy's there. He's trying to get us. But the real blessing this morning is that if we stand fast in this position of allowing the Holy Spirit to be uppermost in our lives, to lead us, to guide us, and when necessary, to fight our battles for us, we are going to win. We're going to experience the blessing of what it is to not only know the Lord Jesus Christ, but to be used by him, and being used by him to, at the end of the day, say, well, Lord, I give you glory. I give you honor because you have been faithful. So that's just a quick picture of the work that God is desiring to do in each one of us. What is that work? He's desiring for his Holy Spirit to come in and help us. In fact, take reign of our lives, take charge of our lives, and lead us. Now, we're not going to be some kind of robot in the wilderness. We will be busy. God will be giving us instruction, giving us direction, and we'll be doing the work. But even as we do the work, we'll find that the Holy Spirit is working on our behalf. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. It's called life in the Spirit. And it's a life that we choose. And I hope that, you know, for some of you, maybe this has clarified some things. Maybe you've wondered, you know, why is it that I try to live the Christian life and I have such a hard time? Well, it could be that you're not allowing the Spirit of God to work in your life to strengthen you, to build character. And as he builds character, he will give you that opportunity to try it out, so to speak. He'll give you that opportunity to, rather than going in the way of the flesh, to go in the way of the Spirit. And as you grow in that, as you sense God doing that work, it is a blessing. It's a huge blessing. So may each one of you today experience the blessing of the Holy Spirit working in you and working through you and producing that fruit that will continue to produce and to produce. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you, Lord, that you're patient with us. Lord, many of us, we've given our lives to you, and then we've gone on to live lives that are filled with selfishness. And Lord, we want to live a life that is pleasing to you. And we want to live a life that will draw others to you. And so, Lord, we ask you today that you would help us to be men and women who live in the Spirit. Lord, seek your will and not our will. So we thank you for the good work that you've done, Lord. We thank you for the teaching that we've received this morning, Lord. Help us to put it into effect. Help us to be men and women who follow the Spirit of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Well, I pray God's blessing upon you as you go forth. And I pray that for those of you that maybe are hearing this for the first time, that it is the Spirit of God that is working in you, that is wanting to produce in you not only the fruit of his Spirit, but to use you to love people, that you would take that to heart and that you would allow God to do that work that he desires to do in your life. God bless you.
What is your love?
What is your love and grace? What is your love and grace? You never change, you never fail, oh God. What is your love and grace? What is your love and grace? You never change.
The Holy One who was. have a blessed week.